Thank you for joining us at U Inc. My name is Ria Greif, and I'm here with you today, as I am every week, to help build the most important brand in your life, which is you. When we talk about building, we use tools, and the same goes for building our brand. These wellness tools will help elevate your emotional intelligence and help to lead you in a more positive, successful direction in life and in business. Some of these tools you will find helpful today, and some you'll hang up with your hat until you need to wear it. This week's tool is magic, and why it is important to have the ability to make magic happen in your life and how to utilize this gift once I've demonstrated to you that it is a great tool for your brand. Okay, let's start with what we mean by magic. There is the kind that is simply an illusion, a sleight of hand, but there is the real kind in which you can find in everyday life. Sadly, childhood is probably the last time you experienced real magic, and even sadder, kids today don't really have childhoods anymore. Even worse, contemporary society has made taking shortcuts de rigueur. And I don't mean the kind of shortcuts that we covered with brewmasters Eric Bean and Lenny Colada. I mean not having to really earn something. If you are unwilling to go the extra mile for something, you will not experience the extra rewards that come as a result. In the book, Live by Your Own Fairy Tale, by Yelena Sanchez Fuertes, she also indicates another barrier to finding magic, taking life for granted. Only when we experience tragedy do we see how magical life is. And we see this every day with survivors saying how their near-death experience changed them for the better. Why don't we do this in everyday life? Also, we get caught up in this word called success, which takes the mystery out of just being content with who we are. No one is saying don't have ambition and strive to tackle opportunity, but that also means that you enjoy the now. Being in that moment when time stands still, not relying on anyone but yourself to make you happy, is magical indeed. Ready to become a magician of your life then? Genevieve Davis actually has a trilogy of books for you to lead your own coven. The first book, Becoming Magic, is book one of a complete course in becoming a creator of your own exceptional life. There is an outline that there are exact steps that will enable you to find purpose, abundance, and joy, and this continues in the Doing Magic and then Advanced Magic. These books help to strengthen the notion that we all have the gift of magic, that only we are stopping ourselves, that beliefs create our world, and the immense power of that belief. We also have to be open to receiving and get over the issue of asking and talking yourself into magic. Those who have trouble manifesting their desires usually find it difficult to purely ask for what they want without the corresponding intrusion of negative thoughts. These counterintentions are the main reason why manifestations do not happen or are delayed for so many people. Perhaps my favorite tip from this book is keeping an evidence journal. You can make it into a blog if you like. But when those magical moments happen, serendipitous ones, that you keep track of them in order to be able to receive them even more and for it to continue to shape your beliefs and attract even more. Some call this the law of attraction. In Richard Dodd's book, Thoughtless Magic and Manifestation, the thoughtless manifestations process represents an evolution in human consciousness and how we can use the power of our intentions to shape our reality. When you learn how to hold your intentions through the thoughtless manifestations process, you attract what you want purely while simultaneously silencing all negative thoughts and counterintentions that hinder the process. What results is an extremely fast and in many cases instant manifestation of your physical desires. This is not hocus pocus or the moonspell magic of invocations and incantations or eclectic Wicca, although some could argue that they are one and the same. It really is setting your mind on a goal, working toward it unflappably, and perhaps the hardest part is to suspend any disbelief that it cannot be done. We have heard tales of seemingly witchcraft from the humble beginnings of Elon Musk, Steve Jobs, Oprah, and other titans that just kept believing in themselves and their mission and their power, and they made the magic happen and became theirs and everyone else's reality. It's still thrilling to imagine a life in which crystals are talismanic, Massachusetts beaches are loci of ancient power, and a current of magic thrums just below the surface of everything. But unlike the book, The Secret Circle, and films like Harry Potter and Twilight, that kind of magic just does not exist. Remember that magic is you, or as we like to say here on our show, you Inc., not the books or the articles or someone else or things or the universe. We all have the ability to develop that talent for serendipity, and you don't need a magic wand. Magic is believing in yourself. If you can do that, you can make anything happen. And that is a quote by Johann Wolfgang von Goethe from the late 1700s, who was a literary celebrity by the age of 25. On You Inc., we have a true magician in the house. Eric Tate is not only an actual magician, but he is also a comedian and a comedy writer. He has been on the stages at Second City, and he also does a live show here at our very own Shadowbox called The Quiz Box, which he podcasts on iTunes. Mr. Tate describes himself as a comedy magician and has a show coming up at the venerable Short North Stage called Please Shuffle the Cards, as well as cabaret and burlesque shows that he MCs. Eric Tate somehow magically has performed for millions all over North America, and although he shares a lot of his behind-the-scenes talents, how he does all these things is quite the mystery. Welcome, Eric Tate.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here.
Okay, me too.
It's not a mystery, actually. I just worked really hard to get this good.
Right? I mean, even when I walked in here, you were playing, you know, working with your cards.
Yeah.
One thing that I noticed today on your website, I was clicking on your bio because I was doing my research, and it changes up. Is that something on purpose to kind of set the stage? Like, ooh, there's magic here.
No. Actually, I'm a nerd who likes building WordPress sites, and I'm doing some A-B testing to see which intro works better for me.
Okay.
So, but let's call that a trick.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Part of your mystery.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
Very good. So in an article written about you this past March, you say, and I quote, "The audience can expect me to lie to them frequently." And you explain, I'm a magician. That's what I do.
Yeah.
Is this what magicians do, which enables audiences to believe? I mean, earlier in our program, we talked about extensively that magic is something that you tell yourself to believe in and just keep, like, even if you telling yourself this lie, to make things happen. Do you think that these types of manifestations are possible? Can we make ourselves believe in something and make it happen?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, to me, magic is the intersection of evidence, you know, unshakable evidence that something happened and a complete lack of evidence as to how that thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you know, presenting somebody with proof and then, you know, but simultaneously no proof. I think that to perform good magic, you do need to have a tremendous amount of self-confidence in yourself and what you're doing, because a lot of the secrets that go on behind magic are frankly ridiculous and embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I've talked to people about this, and the secret is so much cooler than if the answer was just like, oh, it's magic. It's like, if you had any idea the things that we do, I think the secret's often way more impressive than the effect.
Right.
But I guess to answer your question, yeah, I mean, like, you if you self-confidence is a kind of magic, so, mm-hmm. so to speak.
And you worked really hard towards getting yourself to where, I mean, when I did my research, you've done so many things. I'm literally, it's countless.
Yeah.
How do you keep yourself chugging along?
I just...
Is it magic?
blind self-indifference. No, I really like doing this. Mm-hmm. I like performing for people. At the end of the day, all I want to do is create something that other people can enjoy, whether that's comedy or magic or a video or a photograph or, you know, a silly thing on your website that changes and... Mm-hmm. and I just like making things that people like, mm-hmm. and that's really what it is. And so doing this things over and over again and getting to work with really cool people both here and all over the country and really all over the world is mm-hmm. is really what drives me, I think.
Okay. So. And in the same article, it mentions the format of your upcoming show, Please Shuffle the Cards.
Yes.
Where you're going to show a little bit about how it's done, where they're going to record you and you're going to show it back on the screen. Tell us a little bit about that. Is that giving away some of those secrets?
There are points in the show. I do a gambling demonstration where I sort of demonstrate how you could theoretically cheat at cards. You couldn't actually watch my show and then go home and, you know, rip off your friends at poker, because I demonstrate rather difficult sleight of hand, like a center deal, mm-hmm. Where I could deal from the center of the deck. I'm primarily a close-up magician, so my art is only supposed to be seen by 4 or 5 people at a time in an intimate environment. What we've chosen to do is put this in a 100-seat theater and make the magic accessible for everybody. So there are 2 people who are on stage seated with me at a card table, but there's also a high-definition camera on my hands that my technical producer, Jess Cavender, then operates to project onto a screen behind me. So no matter where you're sitting in the house, you can choose to watch what's on the stage, or you can also choose to watch the video screen to see exactly what's happening close up. In general, the effects are designed so that if they're narrated properly, then anybody can have an idea of what's happening, but it just adds like an extra nice little element mm-hmm. so that we can put more people into the venue and you can see it as well. And that's also how I control your perception. So I force you to watch one thing or the other.
Are any of these translatable to our casino gambling friends?
Sort of. The stuff that goes on in casino gambling, I have a fascination with gambling sleight of hand. I think most of the sleights that you would see me do or demonstrate, or most of the people who talk about like crooked gambling in casinos are really talking about the olden days. I've often described what I do as like being a Civil War reenactor without guns, because this like the stuff that I do was like really, it was really effective in 1830. Mm-hmm. Casino cheating is very, very different now. I wouldn't claim to be an expert on it. Mm-hmm. I know people who are, and they would be much better equipped to talk about it.
Right.
But they're looking, they're generally looking down. They're looking at different things. A lot of the things that go on in casino is different types of advantage play or mm-hmm. sneaking in computers to calculate an edge. There's not a ton of sleight of hand that goes on that I'm aware of, because mm-hmm. Casinos have come up
they're
with a
They're hip
number,
to it now.
Yeah, they've got a bunch of procedures to prevent that. I mean, you go to the Hollywood casino and play blackjack, you're not even allowed to touch the cards, so
right.
I'm out.
Right. Yeah. So what's your magician origin story?
I was a juggler in Tennessee. I got a wonderful gig at a place called the Comedy Barn in Pigeon Forge. And part of the deal working there was the cast was all required to sell souvenirs. And some people were selling T-shirts. Some people were selling videos of the show. The owner of the place came to me and said, "You're a juggler. You must know magic. There's a magic counter. Go sell magic tricks." I knew nothing at the time. And there was a ventriloquist behind the counter named Stephen Knowles who taught me my first couple of magic tricks.
Nice.
So I learned magic from a ventriloquist.
Nice.
But he was also a magician in his background, like growing up, and he taught me a few things of sleight of hand and of real sleight of hand, and that I sort of fell in love with it when I was about 19 when that happened, and so it's just been a love affair ever since. And I've had a deck of cards in my hands every day. I've always got a deck of cards on me, and usually a shuffle pad and a book to read,
nice.
As well as a notebook where anything I'm new that I come up with, I write down.
I was going to ask you, have you ever come up with a magic trick that's never been done before that now other magicians are doing?
I wouldn't say that other magicians are doing. But a few months ago, I won an award at the Smoky Mountain Winter Carnival of Magic. It's mm-hmm. it's a regional magic convention. And I took first prize in their close-up competition for a new trick I have called Invisible Three-Card Monty that actually is featured in this new show.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's the old concept of Three-Card Monty where there's like a red queen and then 2 black sevens. You mix them around, you got to find the queen. You may have seen it played on the streets of New York or something mm-hmm. like that, because it still is a short con that's been played this year.
Right.
But in my version, the cards appear and disappear as well.
Interesting.
But it's all pure sleight of hand. There's no trick cards. It's what you see is exactly what you get.
Wow.
So it's taken me a long time to get to this point where I can do it, but I do know that no one else is doing this because I invented it.
So, all right. Yeah. Awesome. You quit smoking in 2013. Have you still quit?
Yes. Yeah.
And was that one of the hardest tricks you've ever had to pull?
Yeah, it was super difficult. I don't recommend it.
Right? I quit too, so I know how hard it was.
It's not fun. You can't really quit unless you want to quit. And I tried to quit a number of different times since then, but it finally stuck.
All right. So since you are about comedy magic, I want to ask you a question. Yeah. About a realm you're not used to being asked a question about.
Okay.
War and Peace.
All right.
And not the book necessarily. But you have a quote that you use to describe yourself, because I spend a lot of time researching or cyberstalking people, depending on how you want to look at it.
Okay.
And it says, if you want peace, prepare for war.
Oh, you probably pulled something off of an old MySpace page. I think that was when I was really into the Thomas Jane version of the Punisher film.
Okay.
And I was like, yeah, that was really cool. I wouldn't say I describe myself that way anymore. I mean, I think that quote is probably apt in being used in a number of different areas.
Mm-hmm.
For example, when I was working to create the current show that I'm doing, mm-hmm. the early versions of the effects were far more technically difficult than what is being used now. There's an old quote in magic that is, don't run if you're not being chased. And I actually believe that why walk when I could sprint? But I do a lot of technically difficult, mm-hmm. technically demanding sleight of hand.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that you could probably still sort of, you know, if you want peace, prepare for war.
Right, right.
I think that all sort of goes hand in hand.
Right.
I'm very much into pacifism
right.
now.
Well, it's interesting because last night, again, as I was researching, I was watching Brad Pitt's film, The War Machine, which kind of talks about the counterinsurgency efforts that they're never going to be effective. It's like, why are you even there? You can't convince people that you're stomping all over their grounds to just not attack. You that kind of thing. So I was just curious if you had any thoughts about that whole thing.
Yeah.
Again, left field.
Okay.
Right, yeah, left field, yeah.
So I've been asked this type of thing because I am also a self-described left-wing liberal nut job.
Okay.
If you go in and do something.
Disrupt something. You need to put it back.
It's important to put it back. Mm-hmm. And I think that you can't always put back things back the way they were, but in the context of people, if you do all the things that lead to sectarian violence and wild civil war, I think you need to do everything you can to help the people who are the most affected.
Right.
I'm not saying that you have to step in and decide who's going to win, but you know, in the case of like refugees and stuff like that, like a number of the translators from Iraq and Afghanistan who greatly helped us out and put their lives on the line have to go through an incredibly difficult process to get over here when we promised them, hey, if you translate a language that our soldiers don't understand, we'll bring you to America because we understand that you're putting
their lives at risk. Right?
Yeah. I mean, as far as, you know, the Taliban is concerned, you're the enemy now.
Right.
And it's really important to live up to your word. So I think that with a lot of what's going on right now, while I'm not thrilled about it, I think that we have to handle it very, and I don't claim to have the answers. I'm
right,
not a political
no, absolutely
science
not.
Manager, but I think that to just completely leave that situation and wander away would be morally irresponsible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the right answer is, but you can't just, you know, I've heard everything from everyone about, oh, we just need to get out of there, you know.
But it's not that easy.
Yeah, it's not. It's,
you have a responsibility.
Humans are incredibly complicated and unusual creatures that are unpredictable. And I think Men in Black has a great quote at the end, you know, the person is smart, the individual is smart, but people as a group are dumb, panicky, stupid animals. And I think that like that's so true on like both sides of that war issue where you just like, people were just like, oh, no, we need to get out of there because I don't know anything about the Middle East. It's so complicated and crazy. And it's like we're being just as panicky and stupid as we view the people who are fighting over a patch of land, you know? I mean, you look at the religious violence that's going over there, and I consider myself an atheist, and I'm just like, I don't understand how you could fight over a temple that was built on top of a mosque that was built on top of a church that was built on top of another mosque that was built on top of an older temple. Like, to me, it's just like a piece of land.
Right.
I don't see the... But clearly they do. Right. So, you know, and there's clearly some very strong feelings there, and somehow we have to find a way to get past just shooting each other.
I agree. So. I agree. Okay, let's swim at the shallow end of the pool, shall we? Okay, so you love tortoises.
Yes.
And is it just tortoises, or do you love all kind of like turtles, or is it just tortoises?
I love all animals.
Okay.
I'm a huge fan. I'm big fan of all animals, tortoises specifically, because I have a pet tortoise named Judy who was a rescue, and I have a leopard gecko who was a rescue as well, and I firmly believe in animal rescue.
Mm-hmm.
I think that reptile rescue is extremely important because I had reptiles as a kid, and I probably wasn't the best pet owner as a kid, but I'm a significantly better pet owner now, and I understand that kids get attracted to exotic animals,
sure,
especially snakes, lizards, things like that. Kids are also not well equipped to deal with an animal that complex. So what normally happens is it falls to the parent. The parent is not interested in taking care of something that could live for 50 or 60 years and also has specific nutritional requirements that may be sort of grotesque to
right.
a normal person.
To feed them crickets and mice.
They end up, you know, giving them back to a pet store or end up going into a sort of animal rescue network, whether it's formal or informal, which is how Judy came to me. Somebody decided they didn't want her anymore, and they were like, you either take her or she goes into the woods, and she's from Afghanistan. She would not do well in this environment. So it's just like...
She would not.
No, so she came to me.
Okay.
I happen to have a particular love of tortoises because of her, because she is super cute and super stupid.
She is. I've seen the picture. She's super cute. I can't attest to her intelligence because I haven't met her, but picture-wise...
She's real dumb. but she's great, and I like her, and I think anybody... who is prepared for that kind of a commitment and is also up for owning something like that. There are a ton of animals out there that need homes.
Rescue too. Yeah. And then that's the thing, you know, rescue and like don't buy and that kind of thing. So, okay, so here's a multiple choice quiz.
Okay.
You're driving down the road
mm-hmm.
and you spot a tortoise
yeah.
crossing.
Yeah.
Do you A, keep driving?
Yeah.
B, take it back where it was coming from. Surely it must be lost.
Mm-hmm.
Or C, help it get to the other side, darn it.
If I see a tortoise while I'm driving down the road, I stop and get it because tortoises are not native to Ohio.
Okay, good.
There's no tortoises, so it's clearly lost.
So take the tortoise.
Yeah.
But what if it's a turtle then? Do you know what the right answer is?
I think the right answer is you just leave it alone.
Yes, you let it. Well, you can get it to the other side because some people are tempted to put it back from where it was coming.
It's just going to keep going.
It's just going to keep going. Yeah. It's getting to it's going to go there no matter what. So help it get to the other side if you want to, just to keep it from getting run over.
It's also really important to be super careful when you're picking it up because they can urinate themselves to death.
Oh, I didn't know that.
If you scare them, they tend to defecate everywhere as a defense mechanism, and they will release all of the water in their body. This is why you should never pick up a tortoise in the desert because they will just release all of their liquids trying to get away from you. And if they can't get too liquid to drink in a period of time, they will just dehydrate and die.
Good to know. Who knew we were going to be talking about tortoises and deserts and stuff?
I had a suspicion.
<Did you? laughs>
This is not the first time I've had this conversation
today. Okay. Oh, so, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Next one. Mm-hmm. True or false? Is Pokemon Go over?
False. They just redid all the gyms work. I'm really excited about this. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. My girlfriend and I still play Pokemon Go all the time.
Fun.
My lady partner loves it. I love it. We're really bummed that we can't go to the big Pokemon Go Fest in Chicago coming up because tickets are already sold out.
Oh, man.
It is not over. And I don't care what you say, Nick Glasser.
I also noticed you didn't have a LinkedIn profile. So comedy magicians don't have LinkedIn profiles? Or is it more like the P3 Magic Theater Group is someplace where you do a lot of your networking?
I don't have a LinkedIn profile on purpose.
Okay.
I think that a lot of comedians do have a LinkedIn profile.
Okay.
I don't because I've chosen to focus my energies on Facebook and Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever I put up on YouTube. But YouTube is more of a storage device for me than an audience building mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
The P3 Magic Theater is like a physical brick and mortar place here in Columbus where they give free magic shows every Tuesday, and then they have lectures for magicians that are free to attend every Wednesday. Those performances and lectures are by some of the best magicians in the world. They've had John Armstrong, Danny DeOrtiz, Banachek was here recently, Sylvester the Jester. They bring in people from all over the world to do these things. They're the video production arm of the world's largest retail magic website, which is called penguinmagic.com. And they do all of their video production here in Columbus.
Really?
So I do network with people there for magic, but I also network in the magic shop in Gahanna, the Be Amazing Magic Shop. Actually, my friend Brandon Wolf, who's an incredible coin magician, he specializes in coins, whereas I specialize in cards.
Mm-hmm.
We teach classes there to young magicians who are interested in learning advanced sleight of hand and advanced magic theory. So we teach that on a unusual basis. Mm-hmm. The dates are set, but just get in touch with the Be Amazing Magic Shop and you can find out when the next one's going to come up. I think we had like 6 people the last time and okay. it's expected to double the next time.
Okay.
But we teach some pretty advanced stuff. So if you're into magic and you want to learn some new things from working pros, that's what they're doing.
Okay. So their URLs are basically their names yeah. for both of them.
Exactly.
Okay. And tell us a little bit more about some of your upcoming projects. Maybe you have something yeah. up your sleeve that we don't know about.
Let's see. So July 6th to the 9th and then the July 13th to the 15th mm-hmm. at the Short North Stage is Please Shuffle the Cards. That's a one-man magic show that I'm producing. The second Tuesday of the month, I'm a part of Monday Night Live. We're Columbus's third favorite sketch comedy show that happens on a Monday. We are a very thinly veiled version of Saturday Night Live,
okay.
Except that it's all local performers, and we have a local celebrity guest host. We've had Michelle Taphorn on. I think Johnny DiLoretto has hosted. We've had Jimmy Mack from The Shadow Box, Nikki Winkleman, Brooke Cardis as a local stand-up comic who's done it. We've had some of the Shazbots in to host the show.
And where can we find information about that one?
That you can find out from, if you look up Monday Night Live on mm-hmm. Facebook. I think it's facebook.com/Monday Night Live. Or follow me on Twitter at Eric Tate.
Okay.
I have a tremendous amount of shows coming up.
Okay. It's incredible, honestly.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
So a couple things.
Yeah.
Did you mention Facebook? A couple more questions.
Yeah.
One, you RSVP'd to Tiffany Trump's birthday party in
yes.
in Washington. Tell me about what your plans are for that.
I honestly don't think I'm going to go because I don't think
well,
they'll let me in.
He's going to do something crazy.
I couldn't believe that it was a public event.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
So like my birthday is tomorrow as of this recording and I created a private
Happy
event.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I created a private event for my friends and I was like, we're going to be at this bar. We're going to tell some jokes. We're going to have some drinks. It's going to be a good time. And then we're going to go home at 10:30 because we're old.
Right.
So, but this was a public event that she put up at the White House. And I was just like, yep, let's go.
Yeah.
And then I thought, like, for fun, maybe to see if I could get people to, like, donate in her name to Planned Parenthood.
Nice.
You know, and I was like, what do you want, Tiffany? Because I'll donate the monetary equivalent.
Like,
I don't care what it is. I'll donate the money. You want a new Learjet? Sure. I'll donate $150,000 to Planned Parenthood
nice.
Just to, in your name, if that's what you want. Learjet's more than $150,000. I clearly don't know how much Learjets cost.
Yeah, I have no idea either.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. The whole as a clear a grasp as that family has on social media, they know what they're doing on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Their dad definitely knows what he's doing on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And for that to be a public event that's just sort of up, and they didn't block me from it. Other people caught on and were like, oh my God, we should do something about this. They didn't just like shut it down and go, oh no, let's have a private. They did that publicly and they're just not, I don't understand what's
mm-hmm.
going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's
something.
Yeah.
It's something.
But if it is actually an open event and I can just waltz in, I think Tiffany would love some of my card tricks.
I think so too.
You know, I mean, she doesn't get as much love from her dad as the other daughters, so
right.
maybe it is an open event. Maybe she really is just like needs
maybe,
some friends.
Maybe.
She seems like she's pretty cool.
Right, she does.
Yeah.
So also, I want to know, what was the argument that you won that more than 100 people liked? What was that? That was something that you wrote on your About Eric. You were the guy who had an argument that more than 100 people liked that you won.
It was probably inane and stupid. I probably got into an argument about nothing and then about something. Do you know?
No, I don't.
I don't know. I write these things and forget about them. Okay. I produce a lot of material online.
You do.
I know what it was.
Okay.
I don't remember the exact context of the argument, but I do know that the other person conceded and said that I won,
nice.
Which never happens
it
online.
It does not.
Yeah.
It
Someone
does.
Was just like, okay, you win. And that was the end of the argument. And so I just took that as winning the internet.
I would take that as winning the internet too.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for getting into it with us here. And I feel like I won the show today with you having you on here. Thanks for coming,
Eric. Oh, thanks
Eric
for having
Tate.
Me.
Yeah. And good luck with your shows. I'm sure they're going to be amazing.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Some people pray. Imagine, 'cause no easy love could ever make them feel the same. No easy love could ever make me feel the same. Make me feel the same, same, same. I know I can lie, but I'm telling the truth. And now a word from our person on the street.
Okay, Chris. So tell me, what are your thoughts on magic?
I
like discovering things for the first time, I think, could be magical when you find a great song, a great band, a piece of art that moves you. To me, that's magic.
And you're a photographer. How do you find magic in your images?
In Columbus, I think you have to seek it out a lot. And, you know, if you go to New York or somewhere, you can go to any corner and there's something interesting. Columbus, I think it's a little more something that is sought out. But when you find it, it's great. You know, it could be in a random field out in the country or just, you know, right here at the Doodah Parade.
Can you tell us the last magical moment that you may have experienced?
This interview right now, all kinds of tingly.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And that's our show for today, folks. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Rhea Greif, and you've been listening to You Inc. on 90.5 WCBE.